Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and it is such a pleasure to be with you today on Thursday. This is March 7th, 2024, headed towards the weekend. Hope your weekend is going to be fantastic. I want to spend just a couple of minutes here before I have a live interview with my special guest to just speak to the issue of International Women's Day coming up officially tomorrow. And of course, on my Facebook page, you will see posts about Iranian women from my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. Their stories are incredible in this book. The last hours of prominent Iranian women speaking out for freedom in Iran before they were killed by this evil regime. I'm also featuring a brand new audiobook from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. It is very powerful. It is virtual voice, but it takes you right into this heartbreaking story of a young Iranian woman who was executed on October 25th, 2014. And why was she executed? What was her crime? She defended herself against a government rapist. And I'm speaking of Rahane Jabari, a very courageous, very, very strong woman who really altered the whole issue of women's rights when she was executed. She was one of the most courageous Iranian women I knew, and it was such an honor and a privilege to write her book that was published in 2016. There is a new format on Kindle Direct Publishing that allows me now to take the books that I have written and develop them into audiobooks. And it is an exciting time, but on Women's International Day, or International Women's Day, I am featuring this incredible audiobook, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. It is a must read. It is a must listen to as we reflect on the incredible sacrifice of women like Rahane in Iran that stood up against this evil regime and refused to give in to their devices, refused to cater to them. They tried to force Rahane to change her story, to say that she wasn't raped, when in fact she was, and she did what any honorable, decent woman would do in those circumstances. She defended herself. She stabbed her perpetrator. And for that, instead of being treated with cordiality as the victim, she was instead interrogated and tortured for 7 years and finally executed. And as I say, when I introduce this book, this is the way that rape victims are treated in Iran. So as we head towards International Women's Day, I hope you will go up on Amazon and get this audiobook, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. It takes you right into the heart of what happened to her and how she stood up against this evil regime. It is a must listen to, not just a must read, but a must listen to, because audiobooks put I guess the word spin on books that you can't get anywhere else. They bring them to life. They take books to a whole new level. And so I urge you on International Women's Day to take some time out and listen to Rahane's incredible story. Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. Also, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, is a must read. You really need to visit the last hours of these young Iranian women who gave their lives for freedom. Right now on The Cross in the Desert, I have a very special guest, and she is going to give us an update on a very prominent Iranian rapper. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Heather. Thank you so much for taking time today to speak about Iranians.
Good morning, Randy. It's great to be back.
Well, as I was mentioning, Heather, in the intro right before you came on, tomorrow is a very important day for people like ourselves as we are being voices for Iranians and especially Iranian women. Tomorrow is recognized all over the world as International Women's Day. And I know that you're thinking along the same lines that I am, that we need to continue to be a voice for Iranian women and tell their stories.
Absolutely. There are so many stories that have yet to be heard. And as we celebrate Women's International Day, this morning I took a run and I was just thinking about the fact that I have the freedom as a woman to go out in public and to run and to be free. And a lot of Iranian women don't have that same freedom. Just even being in public can be taken in the wrong way.
In our book that we wrote together, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, we talked about Iranian women who gave their lives for freedom. And one particular woman, and you wrote her story, was Serena, who was a very strong activist. She had a YouTube program. She taught people how to cook, and she was so full of life. And as we're thinking towards International Women's Day tomorrow, just your thoughts about Serena, the story that you wrote about.
Serena was just such a special girl. She just had so much life and so much vibrancy, and she had so much going for her, and I really resonated with her. I resonated with her ability to just connect with people. You mentioned, Randy, she had a YouTube channel, and that was one way that she would connect with people. And even, you know, after school, you see her vlogging and talking about, you know, daily life. What does daily life look like in Iran, especially as a woman? It's much, much more difficult. And her story has just always had an impact on me that I think back to when I was her age and just thinking back to how I, you know, was kind of a lonesome one. And she would definitely be the one that would reach out to people. She would definitely be the one to say, hey, come join us, and really just celebrate life, even life in a nation that is bound, so to speak, by a dictatorship. She found the beauty in life. And so even in her death, to be honored to write her story, she saw the beauty even in that. There's beauty in death and the way that she was able to stand up to that dictatorship, to have the courage at her age to be wise and to say this is not okay what we as women are going through on a daily basis. And she ultimately gave her life, but her sacrifice will not go unnoticed.
Exactly, and that's why her story is in our book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. You wrote another story, which is the subject of our interview and our time together today. But for the sake of people that may be listening for the first time, I want you to give us a little background. You wrote a very powerful story, not just about Serena, but about a man who is a prophetic voice, who is not afraid to be silent in Iran, and his name is Tomaj Salehi. So tell us about Tomaj and why he means so much to you and why we should tell his story.
Sure. Well, Tomaj, again, is another Iranian that has just had an impact not only within Iran but globally. And his story is also written in our book as well. For our listeners who are listening for the first time, Tomaj is a rap artist. He speaks the truth, and that's what the regime is afraid of. They're afraid of anybody who speaks truth. And as a result of that, he has been imprisoned in Dastgard prison. And we are seeking to keep his voice and that of many other voices alive through avenues of advocacy. But he was imprisoned, and they have he's been through numerous tortures. He's been through solitary confinement. And he was eventually, after a year, he was released. And we celebrated that, but it was very brief. And they just recently, this past November, rearrested him. As of right now, he has spoken out again against the regime, against the elections. Iran just had elections, not the primary election, but they had an election that centered around primary candidates that are connected to the Ayatollah. And so he was urging, not only speaking out about the truth of these elections and how they're a sham, but urging them to boycott the elections for that reason. And as a result, the regime caught on to that, and they have since communications away from him. So at this point, we don't have any communications with him. His lawyer doesn't have communications with him. And that's concerning for a number of reasons, one of them being that we don't know the state of his health condition. Prior to his re-arrest, he was on track to receive medical treatment from his previous sentence, but that has since been halted. And so it's important that, you know, these stories are shared because there's something
exactly
to learn from them. Yeah.
Well, you're right. His rap lyrics, as you mentioned, he's a rap artist. His rap lyrics, of course, speak of the injustice and the oppression that Iranians are dealing with. And
yes.
One of his statements that really, really speaks volumes about his willingness to not be silent, his courage, he says, "We are dealing," speaking of the regime, "with a mafia that is willing to kill the entire nation to keep their power, money, and guns." And of course, he spoke out against the parliamentary elections recently, as you pointed out. What I find so fascinating is when I wrote the story about Rahane Jabari, her voice to the world while in prison was her prison letters that went on to be translated into English and read all over the world. And Tomaj is unafraid, just like Rahane. He's doing the same thing. He refuses to be silent. And now they are trying to put him on trial around Nowruz, the Persian New Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they have recently set a new trial date. As of right now, it is set for around the time of Nowruz. For those who don't know, Nowruz means new beginnings. And it was very clever for them to do it in this way because he's not able to celebrate, right, those new beginnings. And so it's even more important that as his story gets, you know, released and continues to be heard and to be spoken of, that we continue to press for that release. We know the regime also does sham trials as well. And he is facing trumped up charges, charges that are not true, lot of accusations, which the regime is also known for. And so we are hoping for the best outcome possible. But one thing as activists is we will not be silent, we will not be quiet, and we will do what needs to be done to get actual justice.
Heather and I meet every Sunday at around 8 o'clock my time, and we pray consistently for the people of Iran. And we have been praying for Tomash because when we found out on his Telegram channel the extent of his injuries, when he was first in prison, Heather, they broke noses, they broke his nose and finger, and ended up breaking one of his legs. He was unable to walk, and then he had trouble with his eyesight. They have been brutal to this man because he represents a courageous voice of telling the truth. One of the reasons he was arrested or rearrested back in November is that he published a video outlining exactly what people, political prisoners, go through in prison and how they're brutalized and treated.
Yes, he shortly after his release, he published that video, and that's something that the regime, of course, doesn't want that to get out to the public, right? They're trying to maintain their own reputation, so to speak, and trying to put themselves in a more positive light than what they really are. And so I think when that video was released, that even took courage on Tomash's part to be like, listen, this is what's really going on. This is the torture that we are facing. There's executions, a lot of political prisoners here, you know, down, you know, the way other prisoners being executed, and they know that they could be, you know, the next one potentially. And so there's a lot of trauma, a lot of darkness, a lot of hatred. And that's something too, that as, you know, listeners are listening to this, to keep in mind that, to just really break, if you're a believer and you're listening to this, to break prisons, because I don't think living on this side of the world, we truly understand the level of evil and the level of violence that goes on within these prisons.
It's just horrible the way they treat both men and women. And, of course, in my book about Rahane, they continue to torture her. They would dangle her from the ceiling with her wrists bound, handcuffed, and stretch her body. And they did all of that to get her to recant that she really wasn't raped, but that it was consensual. And they did all of that to break her spirit. And in the same way, as I just mentioned, the injuries for Tomash, this goes on a daily basis, and Tomash was doing his duty as a voice, getting this information out, because still there's really a lot of people in the world, Heather, that don't understand the extent of brutality in these prisons. They withhold medical treatment, and most prisoners will die before their execution date, and they continue to do this. And yet, when you look at Election Day and you see some Iranians coming to vote, they want to give the image that really the Iranian people support us. They really, really, really aren't like you, the world is saying that they are, that we really have the support of the Iranian people. But there was such an incredibly low turnout this parliamentary election. And so we have to say Tomash is doing everything he can. And Heather, I want to ask you, don't you think that as a rapper, as an artist, that he should have a lot of support from other rappers all over the world to get together and to encourage him and to support him?
You are correct, Randy. I certainly agree with you on that. And it's sad to see that the rap community in America and even around the world has been absolutely silent. I will say Randy, Tomash is not the only rapper that is currently in an Iranian prison right now, precisely for music, precisely for speaking the truth. And yes, Randy, we definitely need more support from the rap community. That is another angle as far as advocacy that I'm looking into. We do know that Tomash's favorite rap artist is NF. And so I am looking at angles to try to get in touch with NF or his management and just reach out and tell Tomas's story and see if we can, you know, rally some more support in that direction.
Absolutely. That is so critical and so important. I want to also bring to light for our listeners the power and the importance of intercessory prayer. And we have seen the Lord honor our time together. And as I think of International Women's Day and I think of Iranian women, what they suffer, we have been praying for one particular young Iranian girl, Hasti Panahi, who during the uprisings about a year and a half ago, she was beaten in the head by security forces because her and other students refused to sing a song of praise to the Supreme Leader. And it is amazing, Heather, to see how God has reached out in response to our prayers. Hasti was in a coma. She wasn't expected to live, and things completely turned around. You want to share that with us?
Sure. Yeah, Hasti's story has just been nothing short of a miracle. As you mentioned, Randy, she was beaten by the police very severely. They put her in an induced coma, and they had told her parents, you know, listen, she's brain dead. She's not ever going to come out of this coma. Say your last goodbyes. And of course, tearfully, you know, they were heartbroken at that news, and her father was absolutely devastated. And, you know, the important thing about intercessory prayer is that as a believer, you have the ability to change the atmosphere. You have the ability to really intercede on somebody else's behalf. And what an honor, Randy, that is. And you know that very well. And so that was one. Her story was one that we just continue to intercede on her behalf. And the Lord works miracles, and against all odds, she awoke out of her coma, and she's currently in physical therapy, relearning how to do basic living skills, relearning how to walk, and so we are believing, and we continue to stand that she's going to be able to get out of that wheelchair, to be able to walk, to be able to, you know, do basic living things and go back to life before she was beaten pretty severely. So it's just amazing, Randy, the level of power that we have as intercessors and what that can do and the consistency. And when you see and when you stand on faith to believe that God can do miracles, that you will see results. And Hasti's definitely not the first one that we've seen. And that's a whole nother discussion, but she's not the first one that we've seen where God has intervened, specifically from an Iranian point of view. And so it's amazing, Randy.
It is. And in our times together, the Lord has blessed our prayer time immensely and has given us some real hope for the nation of Iran. I know consistently we talk about this, and in our book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, the God gave both you and me some prophetic words concerning the future of Iran, that things are about to change, and we believe that God is in control of all world events. We've seen the Lord open doors in countries that were closed before, the former Soviet Union. You know, you're talking about the Berlin Wall collapsing. We've seen God's power as a result of prayer. And what is the Lord showing you currently about this nation, this troubled nation? What words of encouragement or prophecy has he given you?
He has been so faithful to continue to speak about Iran's future. And I am honored to be able to speak on behalf of the beautiful nation of Iran and on behalf of her people. Recently, I was taken into a vision. I was taken to Tehran, and I saw a map of Iran, but it wasn't like a map, like a poster that you would hang on the wall. It was a map of Iran, but from the spiritual realms, it looked as if it was from a drone's perspective. And so as I was surveying her land and I was taking in the scene before me, I could see housing structures and I could see buildings and I could see couples walking down the street. I saw families having picnics. And then the Lord showed me, as I looked up, the scene was still going on around me, and the Lord showed me this 1950s-style pitcher. And it was one of those pitchers that you fill fresh lemonade with, but this pitcher wasn't filled with fresh lemonade. It was filled with oil. And I began to see in the spirit, I saw this pitcher tip. And as it tipped, it began to pour buckets of oil upon Iran. And that oil was infusing into her soil, infusing into her atmosphere. And the Lord showed me in a marvelous way, the atmosphere changed within an instant. And I heard in my spirit, I heard the words, New Iran and New Guard.
Mm. There is a hope and there is a future that the people of Iran that have been scattered all over the world will one day return to a new Iran. It says in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 35, God says, I will restore the fortunes of Elam, which was an ancient civilization, if you will, living in that area of Persia, but nonetheless, Iran, and it's another name for Iran. And so you and I, as we have prayed together, we are seeing freedom. We are seeing new beginnings. We are seeing the soil of death and destruction being invigorated and rejuvenated with the Spirit of God. We're seeing the underground church becoming bolder. We're seeing God's kingdom coming in a fury to this nation.
Absolutely, Randy. I couldn't have said it better than that. You know, the land of Iran has been ravaged so heavily, and her people have been ravaged so heavily. And I believe in this hour that the Lord is taking nations back for his glory and his purposes. And Iran is definitely one of those nations that he is seeking to bring restoration, to bring redemption in the midst of death and chaos and violence. Even in an environment like that, God can work and God can bring healing and deliverance. And I'm just excited to be able to have the honor to be a part of that and to see things unfold as the years go on.
Absolutely. Really, I want to thank you, Heather, for sharing your vision that the Lord has given you for Iran. I want to thank you for being such a faithful prayer partner and especially being a voice, a strong voice for Tomas Salehi. Any final words you may have for our listeners today?
My encouragement to our listeners is to just be a voice. And maybe your calling isn't to Iran, but all of you have an influence. And to be a voice in that influence, what does that look like? For us who are called to be intercessors, who are called to advocate on behalf of Iran, it looks like, you know, sharing these stories and pressing into what the Lord is doing. And I would just encourage believers or anybody who's listening to this to really see, where is my sphere of influence and how can I rise up? How can I use my voice to advocate for justice, to advocate for those around me, to make a difference in my community, in my school, in my workplace, whatever that looks like? That would be my encouragement. And thank you, Randy. I appreciate your advocacy as well. I know you have just as much of a heart for Iran as I do, and thank you for giving me the ability to use my voice and to let these stories be heard.
Well, it is my pleasure, Heather, and I'm so glad we could collaborate together on our book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. It's so near and dear to my heart, especially with International Women's Day being tomorrow. And I want to thank you again for being a faithful prayer partner and for being a voice for Tomas. I really believe that it's going to all turn out for God's glory very soon. And I want to thank you so much for being a guest today on The Cross in the Desert. God bless you.
Thank you, Randy. God bless you.
That is my dear friend, Heather Joy, and what a powerful author and speaker and voice she is for the Iranian people. We have been talking about Tomash Salehi this morning, giving you an update of what's happening in his life. And if you have read our book, Uprising, one of the first things we talk about in this book is the anthem for the women's uprising, Woman, Life, and Freedom. It was a powerful, powerful song written by Shervin Hajipour. And because of the impact of this song, it was so powerful and so received all over the world that during the Grammys, he was given an award for this song and the impact it had. The name of the song is Bari, B-A-R-A-Y-E, and I have featured it many times here on the program. But the reason I'm bringing up Shervin Hajipour is because he has recently been sentenced to prison, and the regime was so angry at the success of this song that part of his punishment for writing this song, part of his punishment for it being so successful, is now not only are they sentencing him to 3.5 years in prison, but he has been ordered to write an anti-American song. And can you just fathom how Shervin is going to sit down and have to do this? His sentence is 3 years and 8 months in prison, and he was charged with inciting unrest against national security, spreading propaganda against the system, and encouraging people to protest, which is our right, but not in Iran. Now he has to write a new song to criticize the atrocities of the United States against humanity. And he's also been imposed a 2-year travel ban. And he has to go and be reprogrammed while he's in prison. That's right. He has to write a summary of a book entitled Woman and Her Rights in Islam, which is an oxymoron, and he must take a course on behavioral skills and knowledge in the field of art. This is full re-education propaganda that is being imposed on Shervin Hajipour. So as we are talking about Tomash Salehi this morning, I want you to remember also in prison, Shervin Hajipour, who wrote the anthem for the Woman, Life, and Freedom movement. We need to also focus our attention on him and to pray for him. He's going through a struggle right now, an immense struggle, and I just can't imagine such a talented Iranian pop artist having to write these disgusting lyrics about the United States. Why? We represent democracy. We represent freedom. And to the Iranian regime, that is atrocious. That is fingers on a chalkboard that we should talk about something like freedom. Well, as we think about International Women's Day and the atrocities going on in Iran, I want to end this program today quoting from Jesus. And I want to quote from him a powerful statement of truth when he said to his disciples, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." He spoke the words of truth. He claims to satisfy our greatest needs, our greatest longings. Governments, leaders, kings, politicians, they come and go. And they have empty promises to desperate people, and desperate people go unfulfilled from their promises. Political deceit and corruption continues to flourish across the land, and it leaves millions of people frustrated with angry hearts. Yet Jesus, in this declaration, "I am the bread of life," promises that he alone can satisfy and fulfill the spiritual cry of the human heart with his unconditional love and forgiveness. And I wanted to bring this up today because I am thinking of desperate Iranians who see the fruit of Islam, who see the fruit of false religion in their country and are desperate. They know this government is corrupt, yet they are looking to someone or something to fill the void in their life. And Jesus says, if you come to me, you will never be hungry again. If you believe in me, you will never be thirsty, because I will fulfill your deepest longings. I remember I was talking to an Iranian woman several years ago, and she was going through a time of depression. And she lived in Tehran at that time, and she lamented to me that since her mother died 5 months ago, she had been experiencing a lot of depression and sadness. And her name was Mahtab, and she asked me what Christianity taught about life after death, and I was more than happy to share with her. I explained to Mahtab that Jesus is the resurrection of, and the life, that he forgives all of our sins, and that he rose again from the dead. And I went on to tell Mahtab that anyone who puts their trust and faith in him will never have to fear death. Now remember, this is someone who lost her mother recently, and she was very depressed. And she was really amazed at that statement. She says, this is hopeful. That was her exact words to me. And she talked about fearing the grave as someone raised in a Muslim environment, because they're taught to fear the grave. That is dark and scary. In Islam, Muslims are taught they will be punished in the grave for 40 days for sins they have committed in their lifetime. And so you can understand, no wonder that the grave is dark and scary to Muslims. They don't have an assurance that they will be going to paradise. Of course, their faith and hope is based solely on how many good deeds they perform during their lifetime. And on Judgment Day, those good deeds have to outweigh the bad. But the promise I shared with Mahtab, Jesus being the Savior, being the resurrection and the life, I shared with her that that's the only remedy for a restless and a hungry heart. And I told Mahtab that he can fulfill the longings of your heart. He can take away the darkness and depression. He who hears my word, Jesus said, and believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life and does not come into the judgment, but is passed out of death and life. And as we think about Women's International Day, coming up in just a couple of days is Ramadan for Muslims, where they fast and pray for an entire month to get their lives in order so that they, on Judgment Day, they may be able to go to paradise based on their good works, their fasting, and their praying. But listen again to the words of Jesus. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So as we think about the Iranian artists we're praying for today, I ask you to also join me in praying for the millions of Muslims all over the world that need to believe on Jesus, who alone can satisfy the depths of their longing, who alone can take away their spiritual thirst and hunger, and who alone can forgive all of their guilt and shame. So join me in that adventure these next 30 days. Join with me in praying for Muslims to have a dramatic encounter with Jesus in dreams and visions during their Ramadan. I want to just end today with a really important song from Sidewalk Prophets and Come to the Table.
Outside looking in, this is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give, oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table.
An invitation to come to the table and feast on Jesus. It's a wonderful song of invitation from Sidewalk Prophets. I want to thank once again my good prophetic teacher and prayer partner, Heather Joy, for an important update on Tomash Salehi tonight. Please be in prayer for Tomash and Shervin Hajipour and for all of the Muslims all around the world that are looking for a feast, that are looking for fulfillment. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He promises to fulfill their spiritual and physical needs. And as we think about Ramadan coming up, let's be in prayer for Muslims to have that supernatural encounter with Christ during their fasting for the next 30 days. I want to say thank you so much for listening today. I want you all to have a safe weekend, and join me again on Monday for another edition of The Cross in the Desert at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. God bless you. Be safe. See you on Monday.